Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare Alley, the spooky little side street podcast in the Nightmare on Film Street feed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we are joined today by Mimi Cave and Lauren Kahn to talk about their new film, Fresh, which is on Hulu or Disney Plus right now, depending on where you are. Hulu in the States, Disney Plus in Canada.
We don't want to give too much of Fresh away if you haven't seen the film yet, but it follows a girl named Noah who's been having a rough time on the dating scene until she meets a guy named Steve in a grocery store, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like the perfect guy for her. He's charismatic, he's sweet, he's funny, and then, you know, shit takes a turn for the worse, and there's food involved.
I don't think you need to bury the lead too much on that. Fresh is a really fun, really, really high energy thriller about, yeah, the dating world, online dating, meeting people in person. And I'm just going to fucking say it. Cannibalism, baby. Holy shit. I mean, that's the thing. And that's the huge bummer is that I wish that was the one detail they kept out of any of the promotion for this movie. It could have just as easily been like, oh my God, she met a serial killer while dating. And now he has her chained up in his basement.
I mean, I'm pretty sure cannibals are also serial killers, but okay.
He's a capitalist. Thank you very much. He's a serial entrepreneur.
He's a stone cold capitalist.
And he's played by Sebastian Stan. If you've been watching Pam and Tommy, or you watch the 355, or you're a Marvel fan, you already know Sebastian Stan. He is like the perfect Ted Bundy type in Fresh. He's the picture perfect, too good to be true boyfriend who turns out to be too good to be true. And the lead is played by Daisy Edgar Jones, who is pretty wonderful as a sort of
Fucking survivor.
There you go. That's it.
As always, you can listen to this interview right now, even though you haven't seen the film, because we don't talk about any spoilerific stuff. We try to keep it more to the creation of the film and the inspiration. So you can definitely listen to this interview without having seen the film. But because the film is out, you can totally watch it before you listen. It's totally up to you.
Yeah, believe it or not, just knowing that the movie involves cannibalism is not a spoiler. And we get into all those gory details with director Mimi Cave and writer Lauren Kahn. Before we get into it, though, here's the trailer for Fresh.
The women in our parents' generation, they
were more into femininity. You know what I mean? Because I think you would just look great in a dress.
If you were...
Pretty much done, actually, thank you.
If it's cool, I'm just going to snag these leftovers.
I don't know how you do it, Molly.
Do what?
Dating people.
No. You do not need a man, okay?
So don't play the games. Just be you, straight out the gate.
Do you live around here? Because I live on aisle 6.
That was terrible.
It was kind of terrible.
What's his Instagram? I want to stalk a little bit.
He doesn't have one.
Say what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. See, that's shady.
Let's play a game. Tell me something you don't want me to know.
I
hate this.
Okay.
Put all our hopes of finding happiness through someone else.
Yeah.
Girl. You are all digmatized and I haven't even seen this dude.
What's going on?
I'm gonna tell you, but you're gonna freak out.
No, this isn't happening.
Yeah, it's happening. No games. Isn't what you wanted? It's about giving. Giving yourself over to somebody. Becoming one forever. That's love. Forget this.
It's a straight girl's fantasy come true, right?
So does anybody have a particularly bad dating story that inspired this movie?
Everyone?
I don't know.
I mean, I have mentioned that, you know, like the first date in the movie is pretty much taken out of my life in my 20s, like wow. Down to the text message. So
oh, no.
That oh yeah. No, that is scarf, all of it. It's very, yeah. So I was like, even at the time I was like, this better go into something. This better be worth it. So yeah, I think all of us have sort of, as women and men in the dating world, we all have that like arsenal of like, all right, this is one of my stories. And it was really sucky to go through, but it's fun to tell now. Maybe not. What about you, Mimi?
Oh man. I feel like I do. I don't have anything off the top of my head that I can like pull that's like a really funny or good story, but definitely a lot of like little pieces of Chad were in there. And I think, you know, that scene is definitely sort of an amalgamation of a lot of different things that could happen. Certainly like men who maybe just don't have manners, you know, and are really just like not aware of tact and the idea that like having a little bit of that is actually really attractive. So yeah, just like I've had definitely had dates with people, with men who are very like unaware and kind of in their own world.
Yeah. And it's also just Fresh is great commentary on the modern dating scene in general, because Steve, who's like completely charming and disarming and just like all around, you know, an attractive, seems like great guy. But she doesn't necessarily meet him on quote unquote Tinder. She meets him out and about in the real world. So it's kind of just about dating as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of the fun of it, is that we sort of subvert the idea by like, oh, you know, dating online sucks, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you actually met a person in real life. And I think what's funny is for like Gen Z, that actually might be a red flag to meet someone in real life. Whereas right. Like for my generation, it's like, that's what you want, or that's what you're hoping for, is to meet someone organically. So yeah. So I think we kind of like subvert that a little bit, and it's just fun to play in that world.
And when did everybody get brought into the project? Was it a story that you'd brought to Mimi, Lauren, or Mimi, had you approached Lauren for this?
Well, I wrote it, and that was crazy. And then I brought it to sort of, I have this sort of unspoken first look with Hyper Object, which ended up producing it. And I had never written anything like that before. So I didn't tell them anything. I was like, just read this. And that was the most fun, because they were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know. Let's just go for it. And then it was really about like finding that person that got what we were trying to do. The tone, the balance, the genre. And when Mimi came in, it was like friend of a friend. It was like, you know, we were getting, it was just a, what they said, beshared. It was sort of fate-like the way we ended up sort of coming into contact with each other. And it was very, it was amazing when she came in. She came in with this lookbook, and the things she said and the things that she saw and wanted to do with the movie, it was like the first time that like, when she left, it was me and the other two producers. We were just like, oh, she gets it. You know, like she's not trying to change it into something it's not. And she is ready to like take this on and balance this crazy tone we're trying to get to. And so it was very instantaneous. We were just like, she's the one. And then, yeah, she came on, you know, like a year,
like a week
or more.
Like a week before the world shut down.
Oh,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, literally it was like January. So it was like right before.
Damn. And so what was it about the script that immediately grabbed your attention, Mimi?
I just never really had an experience reading like that. You know, there were a lot of moments where I had to put the script down. There were a lot of moments where I was like, what the fuck? You know, like very vocal. And so I think for me, it was just like, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And it was like, you know, itching at me in all the right ways and all the wrong ways. And so I feel like just having the opportunity to go in and sort of give my version of what I would do for the script in a lot of ways was, you know, it was scary because the script is scary and to take it on is a challenge. And I think there was a little part of me that thought like, oh, what if I actually get this movie? I'm going to have to figure out how to do this. But I think when I went into the room with everyone, I wanted to give a very honest take of what I wanted to do and just had a pretty clear vision. Didn't exactly know how I was going to get there, but knew what it could be and felt like there were enough deep themes and really interesting movements in the script that there was a lot to play with and a lot to dive into. And so, yeah.
That's so cool. And for a movie that's got such a intense themes and subject matter, you guys really nail the tone. And a lot of that comes down to, I think, the styling and the aesthetic of the film, that how it feels like it's part of a time period and the music. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, sorry about that. I think there's a motorcycle behind me. I think that every little piece was important, you know, to build the mise-en-scene and to build the film and the world. And so it was all being broken down piece by piece of, I knew that I wanted to really sort of elevate the cinematography. I knew that I wanted the color to be very rich. I wanted the reds to pop. And I knew that I wanted to have sort of a lot of control over the production design and where we were taking it and how we were building things. And so it was all, you know, as each head of department came on and we all started to collaborate, I think it just became this sort of like beautiful mission that we were all on to take everything up a notch and really like challenge each other of how can we make this even better? How can we create this design in a way where there's multiple meanings? And like the hope is that when you watch the film, if you watch it again, you see things that you didn't see the first time.
Yeah. And like just talking about set design and decoration there, is the house that the movie takes place in, is that a built set or is that a location you found?
It's a set.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, whoever you rented that from, I probably wouldn't go to their house ever again if I was alone.
No, it's a set. Steve's house is entirely a set. Except for the exterior, and
which is, the exterior was pretty, that feeling. Oh, yeah. When we got there.
I believe it.
We did take some inspiration from that house where you see the exterior. We did go inside and we took some inspiration in the design from there, and we matched the interior and exterior. But honestly, it was like I had a weird like sort of vision in my head of what I wanted Steve's house to look like when you first walked in. Mm-hmm. And from there, my production designer, Jen Morden, and I just built out each thing room by room of how we wanted it to feel, what was the scale. And, you know, I think it was a labor of love. It took us many months to figure out, and I'm very proud of it and very proud of her and her ability to pull it off. but even designing the basement, that was a huge thing and really, really fun to do. And we really wanted to make sure we weren't copying any other films before. And so we had a lot of research in place of what does a hostage situation look like? And we pulled stills from all these films that have done that in the past. So we knew what to avoid. So yeah, lots of stuff went into that.
Yeah. It's a super great decision and also like a hard, you know, talking about tone as well to pull off. Yours in terms of like captive type movies, definitely the most fun. Like, I don't know that there's dance numbers, like musical numbers kind of in the middle of any of those movies.
Yeah. You know, you got to keep it moving.
Yeah. And of course, Sebastian Stan really sells that as well. When did he come on board?
Well, we cast Daisy first. We wanted to make sure we had our Noah in place to sort of build the world around her, because she, you know, it's her story at the end of the day. And Sebastian came on. I interviewed him. We had a talk on Zoom in, I want to say late July, early August of 2020. And we really hit it off and it was great. And then I just remember that we were all on a phone call, me and Lauren and the producers, and we had decided, we were like, okay, we're going to offer the part to Sebastian. Okay, we're going to do it tomorrow or whatever. We're going to send him the offer tomorrow. And I was driving home and I pulled over. I got this like email on my phone that was from some like fake email. I was like, Mimi, it's Sebastian. And I like opened it and it was just like, I couldn't help myself. And he didn't know he had the part yet, which I think is funny, but it was just a video of him dancing in a kitchen with a steak knife. And I'm pretty sure he's going to release it tomorrow because he's like, we have to put this out. And I was just like, I had to pull over because I was just like, oh my God. And so I felt like immediately validated of the decision that we made to bring him on. But there was no audition, but he created an audition for himself.
That's so great. And then for the movie, you gave him a meat mallet and you were like, do it again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
So just regarding the whole culty sort of cannibal country club that is in the background of this movie, is there any more, Lauren, that you could tell us about that? Like, is there a world that you sort of built for his business?
You know, I've always been interested in like the uber wealthy and the darkness that I think surrounds them. You know, it's like when you're so rich that you can literally get anything, like what brings you joy and pleasure? You know, like there's darkness there. And I think, you know, I felt very validated when Squid Game came out and I was like, it's in the zeitgeist. Like if people feel that, you know, and I knew, you know, I hope not this exactly exists, but there is definitely, you know, with the dark web and cryptocurrency and like all of this shit going on now, like there is stuff underneath the surface that I find intriguing and also terrifying. And, you know, I definitely wanted to tap into a great, like not just this is a person doing it, but there's a greater world and need that exists outside of that I think was a lot more haunting.
Yeah, it's like the HelloFresh version of Hostel.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a crossover promotion with them or something.
Oh, God.
Well, we already did one with Tinder, so.
Great.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that. That's amazing.
Keep swiping.
Swiping, you might get Steve.
Ooh. Yeah. the other thing that I thought was like so great is that the relationship, the friendship between Molly and Noah is so great. And you don't see friendship like that in a horror movie enough because she just does not give up. She's
such a good detective.
You know, everybody needs that friend. And I think both Mimi and I, we have these strong female friendships in our life where you do check in on each other. And you, like as women, when you go on dates, it's like send me your location. There are certain things that as women, it's like supporting each other that we will go the extra mile and we can tell like, you know how your friends text, right? You know, the way they do things. And it's that like little voice inside of you when it comes to friendships and knowing each other inside and out that like you can pick up on certain things that other people wouldn't necessarily. And I have those friendships in my life. I know Mimi does. And I just felt like I always feel like female friendships are important to show. So I was like, hey, why not? This should, a horror film is no different if we're, you know, making it real and grounded in that way.
Yeah, yeah, it always feels weird when there isn't somebody that's like immediately like, I am
looking for
going
you.
To hunt. Yeah, yeah. I maybe that's just hopeful. Like I hope that there's somebody.
You
who
hope
does
if
that
you get kidnapped, somebody yeah. will hopefully there's yeah. that friend.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. 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 I think also like just that female friendship is also speaking to the modern dating scene still, because I don't know. I think that like in our generation and in the last few years, like I know more single people than I ever have before. And weirdly, your friends, I think, especially in like big cities and stuff, like the culture is just different, and weirdly your friends become your family. And I think that, so we rely on people in a way that, you know, maybe in other certain places you don't, where you just, you're like, this is all I have. I don't have any family here. Like, you're my family. Like, we need to like, when I call you in the middle of the night, like, you're going to take me to the hospital, you know? So it's a different level of sort of relying on people for your safety.
Yeah. And Noah, she, even when she's separated from her friend, she kind of finds that in captivity, like the friendship is kind of what gets her through that harrowing experience.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it also keeps her sane, even though the person that she meets has already kind of lost their sanity in some sense of just being there for so long.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about when we saw this back at Sundance, it was kind of a blind watch for us. We didn't really know where the movie was headed.
The best.
Yeah. Like, I really hope that's how most people discover this. Although I know a lot of people are excited about it. So I'm excited to see their reaction as well. You know, and knowing like what horror Sundance had sort of lined up for their Midnight Madness program, it's kind of crazy that yours turned out to be the goriest one. Like, despite being a really fun, funny movie, it has so many body parts in it. Who's your arm and leg guy?
Well, you know, our makeup special effects prosthetics person is a guy, Bill Terrazakis. He unfortunately passed away after we shot. So Fresh was one of his last productions. He was on, I think, Peter Pan when he passed away. But
wow.
Yeah, he was a huge sort of like talent in his field. And I just remember he was so excited to be doing it, because for him it's like such a challenge. And I was always like, Bill, you know a little too much about body parts. But he was the person where I would get an email from him and I'd be like, okay, I got to make sure I'm sitting somewhere safe to open this, because he'd be sending me, you know, trials of the prosthetics and like, does this look right? And is this like, is the meat inside looking, you know, like just lots of really disturbing.
And no trigger warnings, right? You just like knew if you're getting an email from him, you were like, okay, all right, this, there's not going to be like, it's going to be really bad. Like these photos, like, you know, there's nothing, you're just opening, like what am I about to see?
I was always like, I think that he like just, you know, geeked out in a lot of ways. And for him, he's used to building things like that, but hadn't quite done something like what we were asking for. And yeah, just did an amazing job and worked really well with all of us to get the right look of everything.
He was really passionate and like had so much fun and was so in it. He was such a pleasure to work with.
That's so great to hear.
I was gonna say, I'm a little afraid to ask, but do you know what the breast meat was?
I do. Yeah. It was mostly chicken fat.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of the things, like, you know, we needed a specific look, and we did have a medical consultant and anatomy experts on staff. So we were always sort of like cross-pollinating with our departments of between art and between, you know, acting and performance and like what's real and what
food,
you know, all that stuff and food and everything. So yeah, we knew that we needed that sort of like fatty tissue.
Did anybody get sort of like, you know, squeamish or grossed out while eating some of it? Like, I'm sure what they had on the plate was like chicken.
Daisy.
Yeah, we wanted it.
She had to eat a lot of chicken liver crostinis back to back.
And when Sebastian eats on screen, he just eats. He's just like,
oh no,
in his character, and he will put it down. So I was always like, slow down, Sebastian.
The end of it, you're doing like 15 takes just cause.
Yeah, right. That's torture.
It's kind of crazy how, you know, appetizing it looks and also disgusting, like back to back. Like, what were the approaches to try and make it look like either of those things? Because you do a great job.
We worked with a chef and our prop stylist to get the right looks for everything. So it was a process like everything else. And we just knew we wanted to create dishes that were, you know, immediately familiar, but also had this sort of like sense that something was off, whether that be the texture, the way the light hits it, the color. And so we, you know, kind of like auditioned different ingredients to make sure that not only did it come across right on screen, but it had to be edible. So, you know, in a normal sort of food styling situation, we could have used chemicals and things like that, but we couldn't do that with this. We had to have it be something that Daisy could pick up and eat. So, so it was a challenge, but it was fun and they killed it.
Yeah, it looks great. And also gross. I mean, it looks great and gross. We're in a weird position.
We've done our job.
Yeah. We don't eat meat, so it kind of all looks gross to us anyway, but it looks awesome and authentic.
I think a few people will follow your footsteps after this. Yeah. I've definitely heard, like, I think it's salads for me for the week, you know? Like,
yeah. That's going to be, you know, like the standing ovation, right?
If we can save a few cows and pigs, I'm fine with that.
I don't eat red meat, so I'm good with it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Which I've gotten some gifts of, like, just like, someone sent me like a hunk of steak and they didn't know I'd
still eat.
They don't know. I was like, thank you. Like, they don't know that I don't eat red meat.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're like, friggin' nailed it. Like, best gift I've given this week.
I mean, it was very clever. Yeah. Definitely.
And you know, lastly, we like to ask everybody who comes on the show what your dream double feature would be at the drive-in. If you could play any two movies, what would you play? We'll start with you, Lauren.
Okay. I like two come to mind. One, a newer one, because I feel like it dances with a similar tone, which is Parasite.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
mine.
Did I take it? Well, I'll give another one that's way off. That was like recently. It's burned in my brain as a kid in its shockingness value. So there's something about that, which is Sleepaway Camp.
Okay.
Ooh. I don't know if that's one that scarred and changed me in a way.
Hopefully for the better.
So there is something in the shock value of that seems kind of fun. It's definitely campier and bigger and bloodier, but as far as double features go, like, I'd say Parasite or maybe Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah, that's a great choice. I thought you were going to say Parents for a half a second there.
Parents was also a big inspiration, and like that, the dream sequence, there's like a dream sequence in there that like is also burned into my memory and brain watching it as a kid.
Awesome. So how about
I had never seen Parents until like a month ago.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Never seen it before in my life. I was like, what the hell is this thing?
It's a weird one, yeah. And also super
one.
Silly, like yours.
It's awesome. What it is. All right. So I'm gonna just throw some randoms in there because I don't really have a great answer. I'm gonna say Boogie Nights.
Sure.
Because everybody loves Boogie Nights.
Absolutely.
You know you're going to have some fun. And then another one that just came to my mind, kind of inspired by Parents, I think would be Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one.
Totally random, but that's
good answers. Now.
The shrimp cocktail. There's the shrimp cocktail. That's terrifying,
yes,
and food related.
That's so true.
Oh, yeah.
There's the sing-along. It's
yeah, like right here, we've just made a mini
There's
film
music.
Festival. This is great.
There's dancing at the end.
There's dancing.
This is perfect. Well, thank you again so much for taking the time to talk to us and for making Fresh. We really enjoyed
it. It's so much fun.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Mimi Cave and Lauren Kahn for chatting with us about Fresh. You can watch Fresh on Hulu or Disney Plus, depending on where you're located. And let us know what you thought of the movie over on Twitter at NOFS Podcast or in our Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord.
If you enjoyed this episode, continue supporting Nightmare on Film Street by joining the NOFS Fiend Club. We've got plenty of bonus episodes waiting for you over there, but you can support the show right now for free by leaving a quick review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening to this. Spotify has reviews now.
Just ratings, I think.
It's just ratings. That's even faster. All you gotta do is say 5 stars. That's it. That's all you gotta do. You don't have to come up with a title. Remember your login. Fine.
Oh, that's the worst.
Fuck. Anytime I got to do anything on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, just like, what's my Apple ID again? What? Oh, God. You don't need any of that. You can just leave us. If you're listening to this on Spotify right now, you can just leave us a 5-star rating. You can do the same on Apple Podcasts. We'd really appreciate it. It's how we get the show in front of more fiends like yourself, and it costs $0.
But until next week, I'm Kim.
I'm John. By the way, we're talking about Killer Clowns from Outer Space next week. You got time to rewatch it. And until then,
stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.